WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Contract employees at UVA will also get a pay raise, along with full-time staff. Former Governor Doug Wilder says a review panel has cleared him of non-consensual sexual contact with a VCU student, but the student's lawyer and VCU say that's not the whole story. And Kid Pan Alley celebrates its 20th anniversary with a new album. This is the WMRA Daily for Friday, October 25th. Contract employees working for the University of Virginia will see their base wages increase to at least $15 an hour, the same as most full-time UVA employees beginning next year. Contractors for food service, childcare, janitorial, valet services, and environmental services will begin paying their employees the higher wage on January 1st. That's the same day that a raise for full-time benefits-eligible employees will take effect, a change announced by the university in March. The wage increases will be funded through modifications in contracts and through existing university resources. Promoters of a living wage have sought wage hikes for UVA contractors since the 1990s. The Augusta County Sheriff's Office is asking for the public's help to locate a missing woman. Megan Lynn Mitchell, 27, was last seen near midnight on October 22nd in Stanton, according to the Sheriff's Office. She was last seen traveling in a light blue 2006 Kia Sorento with Virginia registration UUS3083. Mitchell is a white female, 5'4" tall and weighs about 150 pounds, the sheriff's office says. She was last seen wearing a black dress with red and white accents. Anyone with information about Mitchell should contact the Augusta County Sheriff's Office. Police in Nelson County are investigating a fatal fire that claimed two lives. Virginia State Police said the fire occurred Wednesday morning in Wingina, which is about 40 miles south of Charlottesville. Nelson County Fire and Rescue and the Nelson County Sheriff's Office responded and found two people dead inside the residence. Their remains were taken to the state medical examiner's office in Richmond. Police said the fire does not appear to be suspicious. The cause and origin of the fire remains under investigation. Former Governor L. Douglas Wilder says a review panel has cleared him of allegations from a college student who accused him of kissing her without her consent. But the woman's lawyer said the panel found some of his interactions with the woman, quote, deeply concerning. And Virginia Commonwealth University called Wilder's comments premature and said the matter addressed by Wilder is not complete. Wilder held a news conference on Thursday to address the complaint made by the VCU student. She said the 88-year-old Wilder took her to dinner for her 20th birthday, gave her alcohol, and kissed her. An independent investigation commissioned by VCU concluded he had kissed the student, Sydney Black, without her consent. Wilder contested that investigation and said on Thursday that an internal review panel rejected that finding.
The hearing panel rejected the findings of the investigator and determined I was not responsible for non-consensual sexual contact. I am pleased that the panel members confirmed what I have stated from the very beginning of this investigation.
Wilder was elected governor in 1989. He now teaches at VCU. For centuries, a site in central Virginia was capital of the Monacan Indian Nation. Now the land is owned by Fluvanna and Louisa counties, and they plan to build a water pump on the historic site. But those plans could be derailed by allegations of misconduct lodged by a former employee of the archaeological firm that tested the site. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
In a sworn statement, the employee alleges that the archaeologist in charge of testing at the site lied to state regulators and mischaracterized the, quote, cultural richness of the area. Marion Werkheiser, an attorney for the Monacan tribe, says the letter also details unethical practices.
The archaeologist sent unqualified construction workers in to do archaeological work and destroyed resources as a result.
The Monacan tribe argues those actions have disqualified the project from getting the necessary federal permits it needs to proceed. Justin Curtis, an attorney with the James River Water Authority, disagrees. He says they'll be independently investigating the the claims.
The Water Authority will be conducting a very thorough review of the consultant's work on the project.
The Water Authority has hired a new archaeologist, although they are still working with the old one as well. The Monacan tribe is threatening to sue if the Army Corps of Engineers still grants the project a permit. I'm Mallory Nopain.
Vice President Mike Pence will headline a rally in Virginia Beach ahead of the November 5th elections. Democratic presidential hopefuls Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have also announced stops in Virginia. From VPM News, Ben Pavier reports.
Vice President Mike Pence is set to rally Republican supporters in Virginia Beach on November 2nd. The next day, his predecessor, former Democratic Vice President Joe Biden, will make his own stop in Virginia. And Senator Kamala Harris will stump for Northern Virginia Democrats this Sunday. Biden and Harris are the latest in a string of Democratic hopefuls to visit here, including Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke, and Cory Booker. Republicans have raised millions of dollars to hang on to the legislature. Democrats have poured even more national fundraising dollars and star power into their fight to unseat them. Actor Alec Baldwin stumped for Democrats earlier this week. And singer Jason Mraz has released songs supporting other candidates. They're trying to drum up enthusiasm for Virginia's off-year elections, where turnout is often low. That dynamic generally helps Republicans. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
Well, if you've spent any time in front of a TV or a laptop recently, you've probably noticed it's campaign season. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports on this year's ads.
They're all over the place during the commercial breaks in the evening news. And now they're popping up in your YouTube and Facebook feeds, too. Political ads for this year's General Assembly races. One of the most popular ads is called Coach Cox, portraying Republican House Speaker Kirk Cox as a kind of college game day feature on ESPN. Democratic strategist Ben Tribbett says the ad allows him to reintroduce himself.
Besides being a coach, Speaker Cox also was a teacher in his district for, I think, 30-plus years. And that really gives him a base of support in the community where people know him, and it makes it much easier for him to win crossover voters because of it.
Some of the ads are more pointed, though, like the one from California-based PAC Fund Her. It's called Chasing Chase, and it ties three Republican area Senate races together as a kind of viral parody. Former Republican delegate David Ramadan is now at the Schar School of Policy and Government at George Mason University, and he says,
"This Chasing Chase ad is unique because even though it is a negative ad, it's sort of comical, it's caricature, and it's genius. It's the first time I've seen such an ad."
Television ads have long been a centerpiece of expensive races, but increasingly these ads are streaming on laptops and smartphones at a much lower cost to a highly targeted market. Michael Pope.
Finally today, with more than 2,700 songs written, Virginia's Kid Pan Alley is celebrating its 20th anniversary with a new album called Best Friends. The group's artistic director, Paul Reisler, and the executive director, Cheryl Toth, sat down with WMRA's Chris Boros to explain how the group began.
A dear friend of mine was organizing a three-week interdisciplinary workshop, and they asked me to write to work on music with the kids. And I had absolutely no interest in teaching them songs like, you know, She'll Be Coming Around the Mountain or anything like that. But I'd been teaching professional and semi-professional songwriters for about 20 years at that point. And I thought, I wonder what it would be like to write songs with kids.
Well, you might think my dog is ugly, that his spots don't match, that he couldn't fetch the paper or play a simple game of catch.
Kids have what you really need for songwriting, which is imagination, especially elementary school kids. They can come up with some really creative, interesting things.
And you're now up to 2,700 songs. Is that right, Cheryl?
Yes, that's right. And still growing. Each year we add anywhere from 100 to 150 songs to the catalog.
I was listening to them and Sara and I, my producer, we were like, these are good songs.
Yes.
Like, they're not cheesy kids' songs at all.
No, and that's, I think, what's so wonderful about it, is people think, oh, it's going to be a silly song about a cat. And instead, they're some of the deepest songs I've ever written.
I want to know what's in your heart. Don't matter if your skin is light or dark. I don't care where you live or what you wear. If you got cornrows or straight blonde hair.
The There's one that I heard today called Skin.
Oh, yeah.
That was really pretty deep about being comfortable in your own skin. Like, do you remember how that song came about?
I wrote that with kids down in Elkin, North Carolina. And the school was like 99% white. And I went in that day and I said, well, what do you want to write about? And they said, racism.
Wow.
Skin. It's just the suit you're in, skin. It can be pretty thin. So it's...
Dang, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Give me some skin.
In my prior life, I was an elementary school music teacher and ended up as an elementary school principal. And I was introduced to Kip Penn Alley when my PTA hired them to come to our school. Just in 2 days, the empowerment, the common language, music just opens kids up. And they sing about loving music. Life is good because we have music, so why don't we all just sing along?
Oh, man.
It was one of the songs that came out of it.
I just got chills.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really did.
Life is good because we have music, so why don't we just sing all the time? We may be different, we make mistakes, and sometimes we give, and sometimes we take.
Talk about the name Kid Penn Alley. How'd you come up with that?
Oh, well, you know, it only took me about 6 months to come up with what would be the most obvious name there could possibly be, because Tin Pan Alley was the place in New York where most of the great American songbook was written. It's a great name.
It's
because
perfect.
We can use it, you know, for our intergenerational program. It can be called Bedpan Alley and, you know, different things.
I really want children to recognize that their voice is important and that what they think and what they feel should be honored.
Well, I think the most important thing is that everyday people can go and write amazing songs, and they can be creative and take that creativity to anything they're doing, because you can be an artist as a farmer. And so if you can do that in whatever field you're doing instead of just walking through the motions, that's what I want them to remember.
Paul Reisler and Cheryl Toth from Kid Penn Alley, thank you both so much for coming in. What beautiful work you're doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chris.
I don't think so, you're a bully. I don't think so, you're a bully.
To learn more about Kid Penn Alley and hear a longer version of this interview, go to WMRA.org or the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicki. Thanks for listening and enjoy your Friday.